In the adult class this evening, we quoted a passage in Galatians chapter 3, Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28, concerning the fact that there is neither Jew nor Greek, neither slave nor free, neither male nor female, you're all one in Christ Jesus. Now, that text quoted was to indicate that the differentiation that you see religiously today is something that really is far afield from the sentiment that is expressed in Scripture concerning unity. We're all one in Christ Jesus. And this there's no differentiation with regard to gender, with regard to social standing, with regard to whether you're a Jew or a Greek, which of course were the two, Jew and Gentile, two great differentiations that were present socially in the first century. And this was as a result of the teaching that was being done in the first century, that there was and still remained a distinction between the Jew and the Gentile. In fact, he's talking about the fact that we're justified by faith and not by the law, as some Judaizing teachers were seeking to establish. Now, there's a very similar passage of Scripture in Colossians, the third chapter, I would like you to note very quickly. Colossians chapter 3, where the same basic statement is made, but the context is far different. In the context, he's talking about the need to refrain from worldly activities, ungodly and unrighteous actions. He says in verse 5, "Put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. And to put on instead the new man," verse 10. Now notice the language as it's found in verses 10 and following. "You've put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all." So here the same basic language is being used, but for a far different purpose. And the idea is, again, this differentiation and certainly this worldliness that is so characteristic of that society and characteristic of ours as well is inappropriate, because once we are in Christ, it's all about Christ. And as a result of that, we all should be the same. There should not be distinctions and differentiations between us if we are all Christians, because being a Christian is the overriding concern, the overriding influence, the overriding aspect of our existence upon this earth. We are Christians. And as such, he says, we are the elect of God. We are the chosen of God. So it's all about Christ. So it doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Greek or a Scythian, a circumcised individual, uncircumcised. It doesn't matter. None of that matters. All that matters is that you are Christ's. You belong to Him. And so then he says in verse 12, as the elect God, the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must do also. But above all these, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were called in one body, and be thankful. And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. All of those things mean that Christ is the center of your life. It's all about Christ. And that's going to govern how you conduct yourself, how you live, what decisions you make, what's important to you. And when we talk about unity, the importance of unity is because we are all to be emulating Christ. We're to be alike because we're like Him. And so when people today champion the idea of diversity and champion the idea of tolerance and of coming to God as you are and being accepted by God for the way you are, That's just completely foreign to the Christian concept of putting everything aside and being like Him. It's all about Him. And if all of us are all like Him, then by distributive property, we're all going to be like one another. And we will have unity. And so there is, again, a number of different approaches we can take to our discussion of unity, but realize this. If every individual who claimed, even nominally, to be a Christian, a follower of Christ, would set aside all of those things that differentiate them, and everyone be just like Jesus, or strive to be just like Jesus, emulate Him, seek to follow him, submit to his philosophy and his teaching and his principles that he's established, then we would all be the same and that there would be no divisions. That's what God calls for. That's what God expects of us. So just an interesting thing to look at. Two different passages, Galatians 3, Colossians 3, different context, but basically saying the same thing. There is neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, male nor female. We're all one in Christ. I'm going to offer an invitation at this time to anyone who's here who needs to respond to that call. If you're not a child of God, we would encourage you to take the step to become one tonight. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then turn away from your sins, confess Him as Lord, and be baptized to have your sins washed away. Just like the Jews on Pentecost did and all of the other examples of conversion in Acts, you can rise and walk in a new life as a child of His. If we can assist you in any way to answer the invitation call, help you, pray for you, whatever we can do for you, we offer ourselves to you. We invite you to come while together we stand, while we sing.